The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And we have an extra special guest in studio, Ryan Johnson.
Hey.
Lovingly referred to as RJ.
RJ.
So if you hear it, we'll be referring to him now from this hence, like a legal document where they say henceforth known as. So it's Ryan Johnson, henceforth known as Ryan
RJ.
Johnson.
RJ.
Yes. Yes. So that.
Welcome.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And what's RJ here to talk about today?
Well, did you not get the memo, the music that we played as we entered?
No.
That is the X-Men theme song from the animated TV show.
Oh.
So if you knew that, you knew what to expect.
Okay.
But we are going to be talking about the X-Men movies.
All of them?
Is it the trilogy? No. Is it the
quad?
Is it the quint? Is it the... No. It is what Fast and the Furious will turn out to be. 10 movies.
Technically 11, because next year the New Mutants is coming out.
I don't count that.
Is it? Well, it's been coming out for like 2 years.
Yeah, and by the way, that's not going to be probably in the same... what's that called? Like universe.
The
shared universe that has been established with... Or as I like to call it, the Hugh Jackman universe, because pretty much they all revolve around Hugh Jackman, except for one.
Which is too bad, because who doesn't want to revolve around Hugh Jackman?
Right, exactly.
True.
Okay,
true.
So
he makes a good point.
The question being, and we didn't discuss this before the show, do we discuss this in chronological order that the movies were released, or do we discuss them in, like, chunks of trilogies, like the original trilogy, the Hugh Jackman Wolverine trilogy, followed by the prequel, sequel-esque, whatever
you call that? Well, I think it would be difficult to follow a singular timeline as they didn't.
Sure.
So I kind of think we just need to order of release? Yeah.
All right, you wrote it down, so you're keeping us in
Well, no, I'm saying that going in order of release is going to be difficult because they don't pay attention to their own timeline. Why should we?
So then do we do this? We're wasting precious on air time here. Are we discussing this by chunks of?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll start at the beginning with the original trilogy.
Okay.
Which is X-Men.
X-Men.
X2, X-Men United, and X3, The Last Stand.
At least they put the numbers in there so that this can be clear.
Right. Sure. X1, X2, X3. Done.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, these newfangled ones, you know, they don't care about numbers.
No.
They're not into labels.
So basically, this was Sony's gamble to playing chicken, basically, with Sony, or 20th Century Fox, I'm sorry, 20th Century Fox, that they are like, hey, guess what? We're going to sell you these rights, and you got to make a good movie out of it because no one else has done anything for Marvel that is worth anything. And so, you know, it wasn't even like the superhero movies were doing good at this time. 2 years, 3 years prior, I think the last superhero movie that was recognizable was Batman and Robin.
Mm. Oh.
From the DC universe. Yeah.
Who would want
that? Yeah. So between Batman and Robin and the X-Men in 2000, they did a really fantastic job. Like, this movie is solid. It's got good characters. The graphics for the time are fun. You know, they have fantastic actors. And
You got Patrick Stewart.
Ian McKellen.
I mean, those
Hugh
two.
Hugh Jackman.
I love watching Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen do anything. Like, even their real-life friendship is just adorable.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And this is something that I brought up to you, Chris, the other day, is that I find the relationship between Professor X and Magneto to be fascinating. Because
the
they are,
yeah
the character, because they're best friends who care so much for each other, yet have this conflict that they have to battle against each other,
separate
but neither
ideas.
Of them want to, and it's such an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, they're extenuating philosophies,
mm-hmm.
And I mean you have Halle Berry, Anna Paquin, the guy who played Cyclops. I always forget his name. James Marsden.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the list goes on and on. These are fantastic. This was a fantastic movie, and it came out of nowhere. And I would honestly say that this movie itself is the reason we have the MCU. I feel it's the reason why we even have Spider-Man movies. It's because Spider-Man came out in 2002, and I'm sure if X-Men had tanked, they weren't going to go, let's do a Spider-Man movie, you know? So I feel that the reason why we have so many good superhero movies is because of the X-Men. I mean, you had the 1970 Superman, which was kind of, you know, it was saccharine and cool. Then you had Tim Burton's Batman, which got completely obliterated by Joel Schumacher. And then you get this. And this is what superhero movies should be. It's believable suits. You know, it's not these cartoony suits. It's has an air of believability. I mean, sure, you have to suspend disbelief because there aren't superheroes in the real world. But in this universe, they do exist, and so I felt that it's played off as how it would really happen if they really did exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did actually really. I think the weird part about watching it originally was the costume change, because you know, growing up, you always, like, as a kid, I watched a lot of the animated cartoons.
Sure,
that's like what we all grew up on, and it was a little weird to be like, I kind of wanted Wolverine to show up in his you know, yellow and brown, you know, and Cyclops to have his blue and gold, but
yeah,
the black leather suits were like, okay, can we make it a little bit, because everything's just black on black, but they're still pretty cool overall.
Yeah, and then, you know, you go, oh, well, let's go sequel, and so you take a good movie and you get a sequel, and you know what, usually the second movie in superhero movies tend to be the best.
I don't, maybe, but maybe not in this case. Like, so, I don't,
really? You didn't think X2? I thought X2 was fantastic.
It was okay.
Like that opening scene with Nightcrawler is one of the coolest scenes in cinematic history. Like,
that's true.
Like that part where he's going between, for the times especially, the way he's able to transport, doof, 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 like, it's fantastic.
Yeah. And it was really, it was cool for him to do, like, you open up and you're like, oh man, he's awesome. And then he's in the rest of the movie.
True.
And you're like, oh, it's just Nightcrawler talking about stuff. It's
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and Alan Cummings they're like, who's the only Scottish guy we know? Alan Cummings. Clearly. Great, put him in that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, I mean, I'm having trouble. It's been a while since I've watched this one. I'm having trouble remembering, like, the plot of this one.
So I think this one focused a lot on Wolverine and the Weapon X program. And how Stryker and everyone fit into the thing, and
that's right.
Around Stryker's son. Stryker's son, he had the stuff that came out of his neck and could, I guess, like do some of the powers, right?
Well,
X3 is this.
Stryker kidnaps Professor X, and so the rest of the X-Men have to team up with Magneto to save him.
Oh, yeah. See, I don't know. I feel like there's something about this one that, like, it yeah. just kind of, like, I remember that opening scene, and I felt like that made the whole movie good.
Right. No, because the opening scene was fantastic. But it was, like, it was mind control stuff. And that's why Nightcrawler was so awesome in the beginning, is because he was under the influence of this.
Is this the one with also Lady Deathstrike?
Yes.
Okay.
I love Kelly Hu. She's awesome, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lady Deathstrike was terrible.
Yeah.
Like,
there's not much to it.
No. It was like, hey, there's this really cool person you're going to fight for, 5 minutes and then, you know, kill. So,
is she the same character from The Wolverine?
No.
No, that's a different, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So then,
I can't keep all of these X-people straight.
So then,
all the X-people.
So then we have X-Men, X3, X-Men United. No, Last Stand.
The Last Stand.
Last Stand. X-Men United was X2.
Which was funny because they call it Last Stand yet on the movie posters. There's at least two of them that are leaning. So
yeah,
they don't even take it seriously.
Now, this one goes down as probably the worst in the X-Men, or at least by popular opinion, it is the worst of the X-Men franchise.
Oh, easy. Easy of the original trilogy, and arguably even including the original Wolverine origins.
Oh, yeah, that one's pretty bad, too. We're going to get to that in a second, but let's talk about 3. I feel that I got a lot out of X3 that I want in a superhero movie. I just think that the execution of everything was done poorly.
Yeah, I don't even think the writers could keep their own, like, story straight. It was
You didn't need Dark Phoenix.
No, absolutely not.
Like, you didn't need that at all.
I feel like they're just like, oh, we're going to tease her at the end of part 2, and then, yeah, she could be in part 3.
Yeah. And it was, and that weird, it was like that weird red costume. And then she doesn't really do much in this.
No.
She's just a raging harpy.
Yeah, well, and she destroys everything.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. She's just super angry. Mm-hmm. And it's like she was just having a really bad day at work and then just got on a superhero level.
You know what? This is what happens when you push Jean Grey too far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was, and the big thing about this was that they decided, like, this could have been a really good movie that could have actually continued on the franchise, but they decided to kill so many main characters.
A ton.
For no reason.
No, and especially, like, Cyclops, like, right in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really?
And it wasn't like,
for 15 minutes.
And it wasn't like you needed to get rid of these actors. It wasn't like they were going anywhere. It wasn't like, oh, we need to kill them off because they're not going to be coming back. Because, Professor X, you know, Patrick Stewart, Ian McKellen, Famke Jensen, they've all come back multiple times in all of the other movies,
yeah.
You know, in some sort of cameo or whatever. So it wasn't like they were like, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. And they had to kill them off and we're going to do new X-Men that come in. No, they just killed them off for no reason.
Yeah. And it was just like, well, people got to take us seriously. So let's kill this guy. Everybody knows, like, you know, main character's got to die.
Yeah, it was like Cyclops right at the beginning. What?
One of our favorite YouTube channels is the series that we watch is Pitch Meeting. And on the pitch meeting for this one, the writer would say, well, I need to show people I'm a big boy. I'm going to kill off the main character. Okay. And so that's Cyclops. And then we're going to kill off Professor X. What? Because I'm a big boy.
People know.
People got to take me seriously.
Seriously, we do this. And then, you know, right at the end, we're like, oh, just kidding. He's going to wake up in a coma patient. And then, you know, for some reason, still look like Patrick Stewart later. It's fine.
Yeah. And that's they just got rid of so many main characters. And then it was like over and above. Like, Angel would have been cool. Like, there's so many things in this that would have been cool.
Right. I mean,
that
he even showed up. Vinny, it was really cool to
Vinny
have.
Vinny Jones as the Juggernaut.
Oh, I'm on the other side of the fence with that. I hated the Juggernaut.
No. He's not good. I'm saying you could have made it. Like,
oh, him as a character is great. Like, I love him in all the movies he's in.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, they could have made that better. Like, they could have made it like the Juggernaut that was in Deadpool 2.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, there was a lot of characters that they put in this that would have been cool if they had done it correctly.
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, they even added in Beast for the first time, which was Kelsey Grammer, which I actually got to say is one of the best casting for that character.
I agree, especially, you know, like I said, growing up on the cartoon and the animated. Yeah, dude, he fit the
100%.
Part. Absolutely.
I loved it. Like, that was the one thing that I didn't have a complaint on was that they got Kelsey Grammer for the Beast. I'm like, perfect. But... So there's all these characters that you wanted to see. Kitty Pryde, like, they got all these in. They realized that they could have had so many more sequels with all these characters, and they're just trying to cram them all into this last one because it was like they decided that they were done.
Yes.
And so what are they going to do? They're going to decide to do origin movies instead?
Yeah, well, you know, we just killed off everybody in the X-Men universe. What are we going to do? Well,
you can't do sequels.
No, so, this is based a movie on the popular one.
Yeah.
It's Hugh Jackman. We'll do it on Wolverine.
I mean, and that's really – and whether or not they even killed him, they got rid of characters too, like Mystique in that one where she gets
the cure
serum. Right.
And then Magneto kills her.
Yeah. No. Well, he doesn't kill her. He leaves her there.
Does he? I thought she died.
No, she didn't die. She was on that transport to save him, and the government shot her with the cure.
And
he turned into dark, black-haired Rebecca Romijn.
Right.
And she's like, I want to go with you. And he's like, no, you're no longer one of us, because she wasn't a mutant anymore.
Right.
So he left her just there.
Which doesn't
bode well, but And then changing out, and then they, like, he goes to, like, Alcatraz, where they're keeping the kid who has the serum, or has the blood, that takes away his mutant powers to take away other mutant powers.
Yeah.
He's like a
dampener. Well, I like that they bend the Golden Gate Bridge to...
Break the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
He breaks it breaks the huge middle chunk out and levitates it over to Alcatraz.
Well, it's hilarious. I love
that was
scene.
Necessary.
Because in that scene, like, he does that, right? And the sun's up, and really, really, you know, it's awesome daytime. And then it immediately cuts to night. And you're like, what, do they just hang out for like 4 or 5 hours and just need to recharge? Or...
Right?
It's really funny. I'm like, why did nobody even mention that? It's like daytime, nighttime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And...
Well, it's a heavy bridge, so he moved slowly.
Yeah, you got to... Okay, solid point. You need to pay the toll.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of bureaucracy.
Right, yes.
I love to point out that, like, there's a really cool scene where the only person that can get close to Phoenix is Wolverine, because she, instead of disintegrates, she just kind of, like, she's, like, ripping his skin apart, and he keeps regenerating.
Well,
and
she just, like, blows really hard.
Yeah, and he's, like, you know. Well, in that pitch meeting thing, they're like, so, his skin is shredding, and it's, like, shredding all of his clothes off, and they're like, well, PG-13 movie, so it shreds just his shirt off.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Leaves his pants.
Can't touch the pants. Those pants are, like, magical pants.
Jeans are tough.
Yeah, it's true.
Denim is tough.
Denim. Well, yeah, one is pants on Wolverine, the other one is a phoenix.
Oh. Ah.
Nice. Nice.
Okay. So, yeah, we're going to take a break here, producer, and then we'll discuss what, in my opinion, is probably the worst X-Men movie. And that is X-Men Origins, The Wolverine.
Oh, I was going to say, we've already talked about Last Stand. So
See, Last Stand has actually moved up from the bottom.
Really?
Yeah, X-Men Origins, Wolverine, in my opinion, is the worst. Spoiler alerts. And then Dark Phoenix, the new Dark Phoenix, actually, I wanted to like it, but in fact, I think it's actually worse than X3.
Wow.
Okay. Like, if you take away all the deaths that they did and some of the weird points to X3, it still kind of holds up. Like, you can watch it and enjoy seeing superhero stuff. Like, the Dark Phoenix has so many other problems that we will get to. So we are going to take a break, and we will be back, and we will talk about X-Men Origins, The Wolverine, and all the other Wolverine movies. So you're listening to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And we're in studio with RJ.
Hey.
We'll be right back.
Morgan Stanley values long-term relationships with its clients. Rick Hill and Rory Greek, financial advisors of Morgan Stanley's Reading office, know that building relationships begins with getting to know each client. Everyone has different goals, from planning for retirement to saving for a child's education.
Rick and Rory with the Pathfinder Group at Morgan Stanley can create personal investment strategies to help you meet your retirement, education, wealth transfer, and other financial needs. So call Rick or Rory at 223-4200. That's 223-4200.
Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
When you're looking out to pet your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us.
Everybody calls us. Summer, fall, winter, and spring, we've got the best. It's hard to guess who's going to make our telephone ring.
Hello, Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning.
It is me I'd like to talk to you. We're your next door neighbors, the Clampets.
Well, thank you for calling, and how may I help you?
There ain't been one neighbor come a-calling on us since we moved in here.
Well, maybe we can help here at Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning with a new Energy Star high-efficiency heating and cooling system. That will keep your home so comfy, people will be glad to come over. And when it comes to heating and cooling your home, Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning is unbeatable.
Well, look who's getting too smart for his britches.
Call anytime at 221-2642 in Reading or 378-2642 in Anderson and Cottonwood.
Yeah, smart and neighborly of you.
Everybody calls us.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And we are in studio with RJ talking about the X-Men movie franchises, plural, I think.
So since you're playing this song, I just wanna give an acknowledgement to how ridiculously talented Hugh Jackman is.
Sure.
Like he is known as this. You know, I mean, he's Wolverine in everything, right? Because from the original X-Men movies, mm-hmm. you know, with the quote-unquote older people, with the Patrick Stewart, to the newer but older, yeah, whatever, with James mm-hmm. McAvoy, he's still just Wolverine. Like, he didn't get recast. He's Wolverine. And so he's this big action star, and then he's also in musicals and does Broadway. And he's currently on tour doing a musical theater-esque show review that a friend of ours is going to in July. So, yeah, cool. I mean, he's a really talented dude. I just wanted to throw that out there.
So he has the, in my opinion, my favorite and I think absolute best cameo in any of the movies and the best use of a PG-13 F-word. Because
he got the only one.
Yeah, so in a PG-13 movie, it can say a PG-13 movie if you use one F-word. We all know what the F-word is.
Right.
And if you use it once, you're still a PG. If you use it twice, it turns into an R-rated movie. So we'll get to the movie later, but his cameo in X-Men First Class, where they're trying to gather the first class of X-Men, and it's just McAvoy and Fassbender as Magneto and Professor X walk into this bar to talk to him, and they say, "Hello, we're so-and-so," and he says, "F-word off," and that's his only cameo, and that's his line. They use their F-word on him in the absolute best way possible.
So the funny thing is apparently he gets the only one, but that wasn't the line he was supposed to give. He ad-libbed that.
Really?
It was supposed to be like, it was supposed to be like F-U mm-hmm. and not F-off. So they did like 5 or 6 takes where he was saying, you know, you. And then on that take he said, you know, off. And so apparently their reaction is genuine to him being like, that's not the line.
All right.
So they look shiked, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, all right then. They smack the table and take off. But he also holds my vote for the worst X-Men movie of all, and that is X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Oh, so bad.
So this one fails on so many levels because, one, the graphics, the CG graphics for his claws are the worst.
I'm fairly sure at some points they don't even line up.
Yeah. Yeah, they just kind of float there.
Yeah.
They completely miss the point of what the character of Deadpool is.
So badly.
Yeah. They give us...
However, devil's advocate, do you think we would have gotten Deadpool as we have him now had they not messed him up so badly in this movie?
Oh, man.
It's a good question.
Deadpool origin story.
Right? Yeah. Because, I mean, Ryan Reynolds got his foot into Deadpool with this movie. I mean, he was the original Wade Wilson Deadpool mm-hmm. in this movie, and then he got a chance to redo it, and I think we can all agree that the new one is amazing, and yeah, he was absolutely born to play that role.
Sure.
But would he have gotten the opportunity had he not been in this absolute train wreck?
Well, he put together that video afterwards, I don't know.
But would he have felt compelled to do that?
Yeah, I don't think he was that big of a Deadpool fan prior to getting the role. I think he... During the role, he researched the character so much.
And then realized that his character that he played was nowhere near what it was supposed to be.
Hot garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I hated the fact that they took what is a really macho, cool character, and they turned him into a sad sack of a love guy. Like, his only purpose for this movie was to make women want to go see this movie by making him this romantic lead.
Yeah.
It was so out of character. Like, I'm not saying, like, you know, I'm all in favor of what they call chick flicks, and I think that's an unfair, you know, title on
right,
movies.
Right.
Like, as long as it's a good movie, it doesn't matter what it is or what it's targeted to. But they literally took a character and changed it completely to find a new demographic while completely getting rid of the demographic that it's there for.
Well, they're like, we have superheroes, but, you know, those are mostly guys.
Yeah.
You know, superhero fans because, you know, drastic generalizations and
sure.
whatnot. Yeah. Like, well, how do we get, like, you know, the girls to come in? And we're like, oh, you know, we'll make it a love story.
with Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, absolutely. And a girl who, their chemistry really wasn't that great.
No.
No.
Like, you
didn't. And apparently her superpower was to, you know, touch people.
So, and then Liev Schreiber is Sabretooth, who looks completely different than the Sabretooth that's in the X-Men movies.
Well, a lot's happened. You know, he grew a lot of hair.
And he became a whole completely different wrestler. In
yeah, it was yeah. awesome, yeah.
Yeah. Liev Schreiber's great, don't get me wrong, but why change the character? Well, and then, and he's his brother? Like, is that established anywhere in the in any other form?
I believe in the comics, possibly.
Maybe, in yeah. one of them? Because I don't think that's the main reason.
Now, well, the character of Wolverine has gone through so much in the comics. Like, it's yeah. crazy. Like, you know, Logan's not even his name. They made all that up. That's yeah. actually pretty fair. His name was Jimmy. They, you know, he was born in, like, the 1800s. And yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. There's so many things wrong with this. Like, I can't even get. And then the terrible special effects, the helicopter scene, all that. Like, it's right. just so bad. Or the fact, the way that he can, that he's running up the side of the silo. And, like, yes. like he's holding up things that he shouldn't. Like, I get, like, they didn't understand Wolverine's powers either. Like, he's got cool enough powers. Those claws right. are awesome. He can regenerate. But now they need to be like, now we need him to, like, hold up buildings, and he needs to be Superman. And, like, I'm like.
Well, I feel like that's a trap that a lot of superheroes fall into. Is when, I feel like when the writers can't figure out how to resolve a scene, they just give the superhero whatever power they need to have.
Yes.
Like, in Dark Phoenix, I feel like Jean Grey's powers are ridiculously strong. Like, absolutely. There's nothing she can't do. And when you have that much power, it makes your character really boring. Like, you know, we've been watching, you know, you showed me the complete Batman animated series was my formal education of Batman.
Yes, I'm a good husband.
You are a good husband, and I appreciated it. And it was an insanely fascinating show. So well done. We also tried to watch Superman's animated series at the same time.
It was nowhere near.
And it's like, I am bored out of my mind with this goody-two-shoes guy who can't be defeated, has no weaknesses except kryptonite, which, okay, just don't be around kryptonite. Problem solved.
The animated series, though, is still one of the best incarnations of Superman.
Right, but that's what I'm saying, is Superman is so powerful that he's kind of boring.
My favorite episode of that, I know we're going off on a tangent, but my favorite episode of that is The Man Who Killed Superman. The late Mr. Kent or something like that.
Yeah,
the late Mr. Kent, because it was a story, it was a film noir style story that was told completely different. It was a murder mystery, and have you seen that one?
I maybe a long time ago.
So I'm going to go through this really quickly, right. And people are going to go, why are we talking about Superman during next time? But it's such a great that you started this.
I'm sorry.
And so it's an episode where Clark Kent is investigating a murder, and a bomb is placed under his seat. And his car explodes, and so everyone thinks he's dead. And he can't go around telling people that he's alive because everyone thinks he's dead. Because his car went over. Yeah, he should be dead. And so he has to investigate not only his own murder, but the original murder to get the guy who's on death row off of cleared. And as it turns out, it was the cop the whole time, the cop investigating the murder that the guy's on death row. So Superman has to save the guy, and he has to catch the corrupt cop, and then he has to figure out a way to become Clark Kent again, because he says he'll go nuts if he doesn't, not Superman. And it's told with a narrative that is like a film noir. It is an amazing episode, completely different from all the others, and it's my absolute favorite.
That is actually, that sounds pretty sweet.
It is a very good episode. So if you're going to watch any episode of the animated Superman show, it's the late Mr. Kent.
That sounds good. I'm going to have to check that one out.
But back to X-Men.
Yeah, back to
X-Men. So you had mentioned during the break Gambit this particular movie.
Oh, so bad. Gambit was like one of the coolest characters in the animated series, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, yeah, we can put him in X-Men Origins for whatever reason and make him terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just bad. Like, he tried.
And then we're gonna recast him as Channing Tatum for some reason that we never get.
Oh, no. Well, that's no longer going to happen. I feel like he would have been better than the other guy.
Oh, yeah. He would have been great. Like,
what is Gambit's power?
He like, controls energy, and he uses them to like, supercharge playing cards that he throws and becomes
explosive.
Yeah,
I think he can unlock the potential energy of anything he touches. Mm-hmm. So that's why he uses cards. Cards have a little bit. He can use bricks and anything. The bigger things he has, more potential energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's and they got, what's his name?
Tyler
Kitch.
Taylor Kitch.
Yeah.
But that, yeah.
Just everything about it. And I don't like the way that they... I know you can't get the same actor. Like, Batman movies, you had Michael Keaton, you had Val Kilmer, you had... I get that. But, like... They're not even trying. Like, they just recast people willy-nilly,
yeah.
whether or not they look like them, whether or not they fall into the age range. Like, none of that. Like, they don't even – like, the Stryker – is it Stryker?
Yeah.
Stryker. No, Trask.
Oh,
Trask was an older black man in X2, and then by Days of Future Past, he's
Peter Dinklage.
So you're going from older black man, larger older black man, to small white guy.
Well, you know, the talent pool was there. You know,
well, they're like, we can get this person. Let's just put him in. And they're like, wait, what? Like, that? Like, what?
It's kind of funny, actually. Really hilarious.
But X-Men Origins Wolverine is the worst. It fails on so many levels. And then... It's and they're inconsistent with what will kill him, what won't, and
apparently adamantine bullets.
Adamantine bullets only gives him amnesia.
Right? No, but it pierces
but it kills,
adamantium.
Yeah, but it kills
I feel
other
like
people.
If you shoot two things that are the same, you know, that's not how science works. Sorry,
right,
guys. Yeah.
So then they did the Wolverine. So you have X-Men Origins Wolverine, right. And then you have the Wolverine.
See, I really enjoyed the Wolverine.
I watched it last night because it was the only one I have never seen.
Okay.
I watched it for the first time last night. I found, I don't know, maybe I was just too tired, but I kept dozing. I kept wanting to doze.
Oh, no, that's definitely, yeah.
Like, I didn't care about any of what was going on. I wanted to, but I didn't.
Right.
And, like, he's great in it. And you have the one train scene, which is ridiculous, but at least it's fun.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, it was great.
And the rest of the movie, you're just like, why? Like, I'm sitting there going, what?
Well, the Wolverine character, like, especially during the Weapon X thing, him being in Japan in the samurai side of Logan is huge with most fans. And I feel like that's the reason why they kind of did it, is to show, like, him going there and having this connection. They didn't really portray it very well.
No. Well, and then in X-Men Origins Wolverine, that part where he turns into Weapon X is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. That is, like, the one saving grace of that entire movie, is seeing him get the adamantium.
Right.
But then in Wolverine, you get – or the Wolverine, it's just, like, you're able to make a whole freaking samurai suit out of this stuff.
Apparently, it's really hard to get, but also extremely easy to get.
Yeah. So it's like...
It's kind of like vibranium in the current
MCU. Yeah, it's like you can either... Like, you either... It's like all or nothing. If you can't find it at all, but once you do, you just have tons.
Yes. So, and the Silver Samurai was easily... Well, I'm going to say this is actually really fun. Easily the worst part of it, because it's such, like, a terrible, terrible trope. Like, let's just make the one guy who we introduced in the beginning of the movie, who happens to be his friend, and no, he's not really dead, and he's a big robot for some reason. Because, you know, Japan, big robots, you have to do that, obviously, yes.
It's
Kaiju.
It's contractually obligated.
Kaiju actually would have been great.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I did like, there was a really cool scene. Oh, at the beginning of the movie, when the bomb is dropped on Nagasaki.
Yes.
And he's protecting the guy, and his skin, and he pretty much just becomes this shriveled nothing. And then he slowly grows back to his former glory. I mean, it was pretty cool graphics.
Yeah.
I thought that it looked kind of cool.
I thought the actual explosion was better than that. Like, the actual explosion that they show.
That's true.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and apparently, well, you know, and that hurt him way worse than Jean did as Dark Phoenix, so right away.
Well, yeah, and Viper. I mean, Viper was a terrible character in this. By the way, that's another thing about this movie, is that I don't know which one came out first. Maybe you can look this up for me while I'm talking.
Okay.
The Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, I think it is, or this one. Whichever one's the one where Tom Cruise is fighting the guy in I'm pretty sure it's Rogue Nation. It was the one with the Dubai, the big, where he's got the gloves on the window. So anyway, in that movie, towards the end of it, he's battling the guy for the nuke box, the nuke launcher box.
Right.
And they're in that really cool, auto garage where, the cars are being placed, in the garage.
Yeah.
It was pretty much the exact same scene, like when the Silver Samurai and Wolverine fall. It's the same as when Tom Cruise, Ethan Hunt, and the bad guy fall down, and they're like chasing after that suitcase.
Right.
I was like, did you guys just use the exact same computer graphics?
So it was Ghost Protocol.
Okay.
Which came out in 2011, and Wolverine came out in 2013.
Oh.
Okay. Wow. Well, yeah. And Ghost Protocol used it way better.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, I'm like, did you just take that and just, like, copy-paste Wolverine over Ethan Hunt? Because it was like, in when they're in, doing that one battle and they fall over the layers, dunk, 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 dunk. I'm like, it's the exact same thing.
Well, you got to kind of wonder if, like, you know, the producers were the same, and he's like, man, you know what would be a really great action scene? We used it a couple years ago in the small movie that I did. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Well, it's got the small actor in it.
Yeah, he's a very small actor.
I'm here always.
There's not much to say about the Wolverine other than it's just there. I know you liked it, but I just felt very...
I liked some of the characters in it. The leader of the Ninja Clan was very, very cool. He, in the actual comic book, becomes the protector of the family and becomes the new Silver Samurai. It was really, really sad that he died. Mm-hmm. And I also just really like Hiroyuki Sanada. And he was the dad. He was a big jerk. But as an actor, I love that guy. Like, anytime he's in a movie, he always does, like, really great sword scenes, and they're fantastic.
Yeah, and so I feel that Logan, the third one in the Hugh Jackman Wolverine
which
trilogy...
Which was cool, since you're transitioning.
Totally made up for it.
Yeah, and the funny thing is when the girl gives him his prophecy on how he dies, they actually took that into account when filming Logan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exactly what she said.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's very interesting.
I'll come back to it if you want. We actually talk about Logan.
So no, we'll continue this right now because we'll take a break after we talk about this one. We won't get to spend too much time because we want to spend the bulk of the remaining our time on the prequel sequels. Logan though, I felt it was it was R rated,
right?
And it paid off because one of my biggest problems with both Wolverine movies
was the PG-13.
Yeah, because of the fact that even like he's stabbing through people, and there's no blood.
Right.
And then in this new one,
kind of fall down.
In this new one, sure, you get the F words and the bad language, but when he cuts through people, you see it, and you get to and you see the blood, and you see all these things that make the point of the character.
The opening sequence with the limo. Mm-hmm. Is they're like, this is what we're doing. This is how we're opening. And he just annihilates those guys. And I was like, yes, the whole time. And I felt so bad.
Maybe his animantium claws have, like, the blood equivalent of Rain-X.
Maybe.
And so it just beads right off.
Like Teflon.
Teflon covered.
Teflon covered animantium.
Cook an egg on it. Doesn't stick.
Hi. There you go.
I'm Wolverine. You bet you didn't know I had an Australian accent. But I want to let you know that... If you're going to have adamantium claws, you should go for the Teflon coating.
But, extra money.
Yeah, exactly. But Logan was exactly what you wanted from all of these. Like, it was a good way to end that trilogy, and it was the strongest of all three.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't need the other two movies. I just needed Logan.
No, it was really cool. Like, if they were going to do a movie that was the send-off for Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, that was definitely the one to do.
Mm-hmm.
The old man Logan story... it gets weird in the comics, but they did a really good job of adapting it.
I just kind of miss that they're not going to have Wolverine or Hugh Jackman's Wolverine in the MCU.
Right.
And
well, you know, there is always Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, I know, but I wanted to see the Hulk rip Wolverine in half.
That would be cool.
He does that, but in the comics, in the actual Old Man Logan, he eats them.
Mm-hmm.
He eats him, right? And then Wolverine has to cut himself out of the Hulk from the inside.
Nice.
It's crazy.
I don't want to see that.
No.
I'm kind of glad that's not going to be in the movie.
What also would be really cool is in the comics there was a big symbiote T-Rex. So Carnage T-Rex would be pretty sweet.
That'd be pretty cool.
Make a whole new Jurassic
Park. So Old Man Logan, Logan.
Well, you already have Star-Lord, so...
Not too sorry,
He's gonna take care of that.
That's the U-Tide.
So, I feel that Logan was definitely the best. Like, you can skip the other two, and you don't need to watch them to even get to Logan. Like, you can just watch Logan.
And it was really cool, like, It was set up from Deadpool. Deadpool did really, really well as an R-rated movie, and they're like, oh, we can make an R-rated superhero movie that does well. So when they did it with Old Man Logan, you know, Logan, it was great. And yeah. I feel like there's music.
Yeah, go ahead. This is the,
you can finish
the
your thought.
Music. Yeah, go ahead.
It was just, it was really nice to see them actually solidify the fact that you can make an R-rated movie for a mature audience and have it be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just love it. Like, yeah. there's no real wrong with that movie.
Not really, very few.
And, I mean, they're doing the whole age down because he has a clone in it really well. Like,
that was really good.
Yeah, that was really done really well. Okay, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to start talking about the prequel sequels.
Right.
So you are listening to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And I'm RJ.
And we'll be right back.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
The Backo and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backo and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. The Backo and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
I want you to want me.
Get ready for a musical institution. Cheap Trick, live. Saturday, July 6th, 7:30, Reading Civic Auditorium. An unbelievable night filled with all the hits. Cheap Trick. 40 years and the legacy continues. Cheap Trick in an unforgettable performance. Saturday, July 6th, 7:30, Reading Civic Auditorium. Tickets on sale now at readingcivic.com, the Reading Civic box office, or by calling 530-229-0022.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Come on, let's sit down together. I could stay here forever. Friendly smiles, family and friends, place piled high with happiness. Black bear down, it feels like home to me. Can't explain it, you just have to see. Hey, hey, Black Bear feels like home.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And we're in the studio with RJ, and hey. this is X gonna give it to you.
I have a hard time hearing this song now without thinking of Rick and Morty, yeah. And I actually just watched that episode.
I had to get the karaoke version so I didn't get it, because this is
full of bad words. Right in.
Yeah, he starts off with the F word.
Yeah.
So I got the good one. All right, so let's talk about the prequel movies. Starting off, great way to reboot a series. Which should have been a rebooted franchise.
Right.
Which is...
They solved so many of their problems would have said, okay, we're rebooting.
Yeah.
Done.
X-Men First Class. Excellent. You're like, great. So it's brand new, and you're like, this is how it starts.
I love James McAvoy.
Yeah, James McAvoy is brilliant.
Love him and everything.
Michael Fassbender's brilliant. I love Rose Byrne as Moira.
Yes.
The whole team is pretty cool. I mean, Kevin Bacon. I got to give it to him.
Yeah. So it's funny, because the whole age thing is, why does Kevin Bacon start out as the old Nazi scientist and then turn into the young hip American. I don't understand.
Yeah, and I felt that was maybe one, like, maybe they didn't explain it, but that was maybe one of his powers, is because he can manipulate energy and focus, like, he can manipulate himself in that way.
Okay, that would make sense.
So I was willing to let that go, but Right. Trust me, this comes back around later, but because we don't have as much time as I'd like, so I want to get to these bullet points.
Absolutely.
And you know, they wanted to bring in the hot new thing from Hunger Games, which was
good old Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence, and you know, it works. They went with, but McAvoy and Fassbender are fantastic in these roles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it takes place in 1962. It starts off, and the reason I'm saying this is because it starts off in a concentration camp with like a 12-year-old Magneto.
Right.
And
maybe it was a really big, right. Like 5 years.
And like 15 years, so 15 years elapses between, about 15, 16 years elapses, and then he's Michael Fassbender.
Right.
So he ages at a normal rate according to this. Hold on to that thought. And so this movie's great. It explains like how, which is funny because the suits are bulletproof, but for some reason they're not bulletproof enough to keep the bullet from entering the spine of...
Magnetically accelerated.
Maybe, yeah. Sure. So we find out how Professor X loses his mobility. Yeah. I love the...
Which is apparently, like, it only happens, though, when he's using his psychic powers, because as soon as he gets rid of those, he can walk again?
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
It's weird. So... It's and the quarter, the use of the quarter is next.
So good.
It's just fantastic. Like this one was a really good reboot of the franchise.
Yeah.
Or you know, to reboot the series and start a whole new franchise, and you're like, great. So we have ended X3 with knowing that the Phoenix killed so many of the main characters. Like that, it ends that. Let's start this up here.
Absolutely.
So then you go through the first one, and then you go to the second one, which takes place in the year 2023 or something.
Yes, 2023 is, I believe, the jump-off point.
It's Days of Future Past.
Right.
And they have all of the – and then they have all of the older characters from the original trilogy.
You got Ian McKellen,
Patrick
Sherback.
Yeah, Halle Berry.
Right.
Like, oh, so this is telling you that now this new – reboot is not a reboot. It's part of the original trilogy's universe.
Yeah.
So it tied it all in. And so the producers, directors, and all that, they said that, yeah, it does, but X3 doesn't count. So they got rid of X3 in the timeline.
If you're going to drop one, X3 would be the one I'd drop.
Sure.
I mean, they have to be able to have Professor X if they're going to reboot it.
So they say X3 doesn't exist because... Bryan Singer directed the first two. He's coming back for this one, and he's fixing the timeline to where it all makes sense now. As long as you take out Brett Ratner's, you know, turd of a movie, then you're done.
Right.
So, okay, it makes sense. I'm willing to let it go. And so they go backwards in time to the 1975, which takes place 13 years later. Sure, they've aged. Like, people grew hair a little bit. They don't look much different. But
you always
okay.
have longer hair in the past.
Oh, true. Yes. Well, it is the 60s. Clearly, everyone had longer hair.
So it doesn't take place much longer. It's, you know, 13 years later, 1975. They sent him back in 1975 to fix the future because everything's post-apocalyptic. Blah, blah, blah.
That's where he introduced Trask and Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, it's Peter Dinklage, the whole deal. It is a good movie, and you guys got to get past the fact that for some reason Trask is not a big, large black man. Instead, he's a very small.
Well, was Trask part of 2 or 3?
2, I thought. Two. Maybe it's 3. I don't know.
If he's part of 3, it's easy.
Then, yeah, because it doesn't exist.
Exactly.
Spoiler alert, but it doesn't matter because...
It's old enough.
I feel like
we should have been talking about spoiler alerts at this point.
Yeah. And so, you know, Wolverine succeeds by having his consciousness sent back by Kitty Pryde, which is... Ugh. And he goes back to the 2023 of his fixing everything in 1975, and everyone's back. Everyone's alive. You got Professor X. You have Cyclops. You have Jean Grey. Yeah. You have them all there, so, you know, Phoenix didn't exist.
Even, like, Storm, I believe, was, like, Halle Berry was in it, right?
Yeah, everyone. Yeah, yeah, everyone made cameos. Anna Paquin did the whole deal.
Right.
Actually, Anna Paquin's scene was cut from Days of Future Past.
Unless you watch the extended version where she has, like, 3 seconds.
Yeah,
but
everyone's back because he fixed everything, so 3 didn't happen. Done. Awesome.
Easy.
Then you go to Apocalypse, which takes place in 1983. So between 62 from the first class to 83, it's been
20 years.
21 years.
Right.
No one's aged.
Well, no, they're all mutants.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Apocalypse is just meh. And we're going to talk about Apocalypse and Dark Phoenix when we come back from break, because we got to take one more break, and we'll have about 3 minutes to talk about all this.
Fair.
And we'll cram it in. All right. So you are listening to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And I'm RJ.
And we'll be right back.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You'll never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
This is Ted Leidy with the Northern Firearms Instruction Personal Protection Tip of the Day. If you have the ability to park in a garage or carport, do it. Criminals identify dark streets and alleys to target unsuspecting victims who are distracted with loading or unloading packages or children. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's the case, give us a call at NFI at 999-1822 or to find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses, visit us online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
And now, back to our show.
All right, we have like 2.5 minutes to get everything out.
Okay.
So Days of Future Past is fine. I love it. It's great. And then you go to Apocalypse. I love Olivia Munn, but it's not enough to save the movie.
No, she really wasn't. She tried, though.
Yeah. And Apocalypse is just terrible, and it takes place in 83.
I was really looking forward to it because I thought the trailers made it look awesome and epic and
right,
amazing.
Absolutely. And then
I still enjoyed watching it.
Trailer magic.
Trailer magic. I thought it was fine.
And then you get Dark Phoenix. I wanted to like this. Like, I went in going, okay, it can't be as bad as they're saying. It is terrible. And the reason being is because, one, it takes place in 1992, and all of the actors are the same from when it was 1962.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been exactly 30 years, and no one has aged. But apparently they're all going to turn into Ian McKellen. Michael Fassbender is going to turn from Michael Fassbender to Ian McKellen in 8 years.
Right, because the original was released in 2000.
Yeah. And you're going to get McAvoy turning into Patrick Stewart.
Yes.
And Quicksilver has not aged at all from 1975 to 19, so 17 years. And
really, doesn't it seem like Quicksilver should be the exact opposite of Wolverine in that he should age faster?
Yeah.
Well, technically, it depends on if you get into Flash.
Okay, we got less than a minute.
That's true.
So, It's so many things wrong with it. It's so dark. It's so boring. And, like, it doesn't even consist of its own universe that it's set up. Like, it doesn't even – it tied in the original series without giving it any thought, and then it doesn't even give its own timeline enough respect.
No, it really was, like, a standalone thing. Like,
absolutely.
What if?
Yeah.
What if we did Dark Phoenix kind of right?
Yeah. And it takes place in 92, but there's nothing about it that says it took place in 92.
Yeah, no costumes, no setting at all.
And we don't get the Quicksilver music video.
No, we need it.
Which
that's
they established in the last two movies as one of the best parts of each of those movies.
Absolutely.
And then nothing?
The show in all right. Every movie he's in.
I guess they didn't want to send him to Spice Girls.
That's it. We're out of time. So I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And thank you, RJ.
Thank you, RJ, for joining us.
Appreciate it.
And you've been listening to We're a Little Behind.
We'll see you next week. Good night.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your